In 1996, Rav Amital delivered a sicha Friday night in yeshiva about Parshas Beshalach and some of the crosswinds and some of the counterindications. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to lead Am Yisrael up the quick route, the express route to the western bank along the ocean, right into Israel from Egypt, because that would endanger them by exposing them to the Plishtim. They were weak, they would see war, they would flee. It doesn't exactly sound like the triumphant, proud, and confident nation of the beginning of Beshalach. It doesn't sound like the people described in Yirmiyah, Perek Beis, Zacharti Lach, Chesed Nirayech, Ahavas, Klilosayech, Lechtech, Acharei Bamidbar, Be'eretz Lo Zruah, following Hashem into the desert blindly. Presumably they would have enough moxie and confidence to defeat the Plishtim. But if you look carefully, these contradictions are the norm in Parshas Beshalach. Sometimes the Jewish people are depicted as strong, confident, faithful, sometimes as rebellious and as intransigent insurrectionists. So even in different narratives, Yechezkel Perachaf describes the Jewish people resisting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's offer to step away from the pagan culture. A very famous section in Yechezkel, Ishikutse Enav Ashlichu Uvigulele Enav Al Titamo and Am Yisrael Vayamru, they rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parshas Beshalach, the Jewish people say, Hamibli Ein Kivarim B'Mitzrayim Lekachtanu L'Muz Bamidbar. Even at the Yamsuf, it says that there's a medrash that says that when they touch the mud, so Reuven tells Shimon, we were stuck in mud in Mitzrayim, and we're still stuck in mud. Our plight, our state hasn't improved. There's a medrash that says similarly that Am Yisrael reckons that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim for five reasons, and now all these five reasons have been fulfilled. Maybe it's time to return because we received the spoils, we experienced Anani HaKavod, the sea split, Egypt has been avenged, we have sung to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps now let's return to Mitzrayim. So there's just a lot of contradictions. Are they faithful? Are they enthusiastic? Are they have they bought in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision of taking them all the way to Eretz Yisrael? Are they halting and questioning and complaining and disillusioned with partial victories? The Ramban tries to explain, at least with regard to those who complained and murmured about the graves in Mitzrayim, Hamibli Ein Kivarim in Mitzrayim, that there were only certain factions of the Jewish people who were dissenting and who were disappointed. But number one, it seems unlikely that all of these complaints and worries can be pinned on one faction. And number two, even the fact that there are factions suggests there's a complex reality unfolding. And Rav Amital tied all this and all these contrary impressions to a very famous medrash about a very famous pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Beginning of Shir HaShirim, the woman, in this case Am Yisrael, acknowledges, Shechora ani v'nava. I'm blackened, but I'm also beautiful. So, for example, one version of the medrash is that in Mitzrayim I was black with rebellion against Hashem, as Yechezkel Perachaf describes, I was intransigent and stubborn, but I was beautiful because at the very least we acceded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wishes the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim by performing Karban Pesach. Or Shecharani at the Yam because we rebelled, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim Perek Vav, Yam Ral Yam B'Yamsuf, but V'Nava because I said Zekei Livyan Ve'u. Shecharani B'Mara. We were black in Mara, in which we complained, Manishteh. V'Nava at Mara, but at Mara, even within the same location at the same moment, we cried and we davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shcharani b'chorev in Har Sinai, side of the Egel. V'navani b'chorev kol asher diver naseh v'nishma. So this medrash distills the variabilities, not just from moment to moment, but within a moment and within a location. Sometimes we're black, sometimes we're beautiful. And all of this hints to a very important lesson about life. Life is complex. People are complex. Very rarely can we paint reality with one tone or one single color. Are we black or are we beautiful? Are we ugly or are we pleasant? Are we faithful or are we rebellious? Are we righteous or are we sinners? The answer is we're a little bit of each. And we tend to want to view the world simplistically because It relieves us of more difficult and strenuous analysis and judgment of people. But tolerance demands not just that we simplistically understand other people and patronize them, but of course we don't express our public dismissiveness and disparaging because that would be politically impolite, but it demands that we examine the complexity of reality, understand the positions of those with which we disagree, not to ignore the foundation and the reason of their ideas, not to fall into stigmatized and stereotypical thinking, to appreciate the complexity of the human condition. And again, I say these words, and these are words which Rav Lichtenstein used so often, but which Rav Amital uttered almost without the educational, without the sources that Rav Lichtenstein would always quote, just very intuitive. And they both reinforce the sense that life is complex and reality is complex, and not to judge people. And Rav Amital quoted the Gemara in Erevin that for 3 years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreed. Some said the halacha is like us, others said the halacha is like us. Finally, Baskol emerged that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, but the halacha follows Beis Hillel. Why? So the Gemara says because they were easygoing and self-deprecating. They would study their opinions as well as the opinions of Beit Shammai, and they would prioritize Beit Shammai's statements before their own, recognizing the logic in other people. And I guess this is the final thrust of this article, this sicha, is that inherent in Gemara is the notion of multiple truths. And when it comes to halacha, human beings in their practice of Gemara are bounded by one experience, where there's only one halachic way to make Kiddush. There's only one, or at least each person has to find one halachic option. And in the post-Shulchan Aruch era, in which there's been a consolidation and a homogenization of halacha, so more or less everyone follows the same halachic practice. But when we study the infinite, untamed word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are endless possibilities. The Ritva in Erevin, commenting surrounding that Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, says that in Harsin, a very famous Ritva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that this item was Tameh, and there are 49 ways to prove that it's Tameh, and it's also Tar. There are 49 different logical flowcharts to determine that it's Tar. And of course, we have to practice its term of Atara in a singular fashion, but in the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're both correct. And the irony is, I say this is an irony, because those who study Gemara should in theory be more appreciative of multiple truths. I'm not sure it always works that way. I think some people who study Gemara, first of all, there's been a bit of a recession of the analytical study of Gemara. I think our world is much more driven to Bikias, to reading what others have written, rather than advancing multiple approaches within a sugya. But sometimes, unfortunately, ideology limits the impact that Gemara learning should really have in building an elasticity within the human imagination that can allow for multiple truths rather than one singular truth.